Betta agriculture is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri, Woi, Wurrung and Bunurong people of the Kulin Nation and edited on the lands of the Kaurna people. We pay our respects to all elders, past and present. You're listening to a Bayer podcast. Betta Agriculture takes listeners behind the scenes of the world's largest agricultural research and development program. Find out what's new and next in Australian agriculture with the Bayer Crop Science team.
It's crazy having a business with no roof on it. So you're at the vagaries of the weather and you can get a lot of issues that are out of your control thrust upon you.
Up popped the fly program, which is a smaller charitable organisation that I thought was more ground roots than even Lifeline and Beyond Blue, which are great organisations, but we wanted something that we could really see the results of and contribute to.
Baby Hub, one of my most favourite programmes of the Australian Red Cross. What we want is for this centre to almost sort of run itself from the community. So ideally, that is our long-term play.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Betta Agriculture podcast. This week we're learning about sustaining our communities, especially those in regional and remote areas. First, we delve into the Bayer Big Fish Challenge, a fishing competition that's bringing mental health resilience to regional Australia. Then, an update on the Red Cross Baby Hub program, which is improving nutritional outcomes for infants, parents and carers in the remote Indigenous Galawinku community. But first, let's get into the Bayer Big Fish Challenge. To tell us more about it, I'd like to welcome Ben Thompson, who is the Bayer Crop Science National Key Account Manager. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you, Ed. Good to be here.
And also to John Hamperson, who's a grain grower from Breeza on the Liverpool Plains in New South Wales, who's also a very keen fisher. Welcome, John.
G'day. Thanks very much for inviting me along.
So first to you, Ben, when we think of Bayer, we don't usually think of fishing competitions. Tell us about the Bayer Big Fishing Challenge and why is Bayer involved in such a program?
You're right. We've got the great products and services, and it's not something you think of when you think of Bayer, that it's going to have a fishing competition as well. But when I came through to the Crop Science Division, I saw there was a need. Our guys in the field wanted to give back to rural communities, and we didn't really have a program in place to do that. So we've always had a bit of an iteration of the Bayer Big Fish Challenge, but it wasn't to do with fishing. That went for about 5 years, but it was specific to a group of customers, and it was really successful. We got some great feedback, and the business decided, look, we should roll this out nationally. So I started to do a bit of research in what are some other problems within rural Australia in the country, and when you start doing that, you see suicide is a big problem, particularly in men in rural Australia. And because my cachet from doing searches on Google and everything else was full of fishing, because just like John, I love my fishing, there was a bit of a link there behind the scenes. They did something in the logarithms in Google and up popped the Fly Program, which is a smaller charitable organisation that I thought was more ground roots than even the Lifeline and Beyond Blue, which are great organisations, but we wanted something that we could really see the results of and contribute to. So that's how it all came about. I called up the Fly Program, which was Matt Trippett, who's the CEO, and he's a wonderful fellow. He said, come along to one of the retreats. So it sounded pretty good. It's up in the Snowy Mountains. And I was up there for 3 days with a bunch of other guys from military to, there was a broker there. There was a few young guys there as well. And I just saw after 3 days how the group just opened up to each other, and I saw the benefits of it. And a year later, 2018, we launched the Bayer Big Fish Challenge.
But part of that is the Bayer Rural Angler of the Year. So tell me, how does the actual fishing challenge work and what leads you to become the Angler of the Year?
So the Bayer Big Fish Challenge is an annual event. The idea behind that is it allows our farmers and time to just plan. Usually you see a horde of growers in their caravans going towards the coast or to the river each year. So we've got a year-long event. It's all done by an app. So we have an app through the Apple Store or the Android Store, and you can download the app and you can sign up individually or as a team. And when you've signed up, you have access to, number one, a nominations page. So if you see someone in your community that looks like they're struggling or needs a break, you can nominate them on that app. But primarily, there's a side of that app that loads up the what you've caught. So what we're doing is allowing rural people from around Australia to go out fishing, catch a fish. We send them a brag mat previously, and then they put the fish onto a mat. They measure it and say it's a 30-centimetre brim, and then they catch a 40-centimetre flatty. The combination of those is 30 centimetres plus 40 centimetres, and they've donated $70 towards the fly program. And that $70 is used to run the retreats that people from around Australia can nominate people in need for.
And that $70 comes from Bayer?
Yeah, that's right. So the, all the people that are signed up, we've got nearly 700 that are registered in the app at the moment. We've got over 300 teams. All the money is being donated from Bayer. But the important thing when we developed it, we wanted to give people in rural Australia something they can own, some sort of accountability where they can go out, they can catch a fish, and $1 per centimetre of that fish will go back to supporting one of their mates potentially going along to a retreat. So they're not out of pocket at all. They've just got to get out there and have a fish.
So how do you become the Bayer Rural Angler of the Year?
Yeah, so we have the Bayer Rural Angler of the Year. We have 12 people, so two teams per state. There's 32 different types of fish you can catch, and teams go out there and they catch as many as they can of the different species as long as they can, and then the cumulative number of centimetres is tallied at the end, and those top two throughout the year come along to the Rural Angler of the Year.
Tell us a bit about that lead on to the Bayer Retreat, and what is the retreat and what is the purpose of the retreat?
The Bayer Retreat is run by the Fly Program up in the Snowy Mountains. To allow the Fly Program to run these events, they obviously need some money to invest in the things that they need to run it. So it's the actual participants that are going out each, you know, each week or each month or even once a year. They're the ones that are driving the dollars that Bayer are paying to the retreats. So the idea behind them is to just give rural people in need, maybe they've had a bad year, bad cropping year, or maybe someone in a store, it doesn't have to be a rural store, they've seen some odd behaviour with one of their colleagues or one of their customers come into the store. They can nominate them to go along to the retreat, and they can have 3 days where they go through a number of mental wellness exercises. They go through a lot of walking, there's fishing, primarily on the water fishing, and they get a bit of a break away from the everyday to try and rebalance, recoup, and come back out with some tools that they've learned from the retreat and hopefully recover. And I should say that the retreats that they go on, it's an early intervention program. So if it's early in the stages, Matt from the Fly Program, he'll call them up just to make sure that everything's okay, that they can come along and hopefully by the end of the 3 days, they've had a good time opening up, potentially if they want to, and they can go back into the community and get well.
So, John, I'll bring you into the conversation now. So you've participated in the Bayer Big Fishing Challenge. Tell us about that experience and why did you get involved?
Okay, so I was involved in the first of the challenges when they first brought it out, and our team, which was the Perth South Rural Dry Creek Fishers team, we had the highest number of points in New South Wales and we got to go up against the other states. So for us, it was a fantastic opportunity to, you know, meet up with other people, and being the inaugural one, I guess we were a bit the guinea pigs and on how the program would work. And we learned a lot about how Matt Trippett's fly program, you know, the background behind it, which was, you know, based on Men in Flight, which was, it was set up to help people with PTSD and a number of other issues that men have, you know, face. And it was really great because we had people from every state came. Anyway, it was just a fantastic opportunity to go away into the Blue Mountains and do just really good outdoor physical things. I mean, I'm a mad keen fisherman. So for me, it ticked that box straight away. But, you know, we did a pre-dawn hike up onto the Snowy Mountains and a freezing cold morning, and we were up the top of I think it was Mount Krakenback or something, and just as the sun came up. And Matt was really good. He sort of, you know, just walked us through the experiences of what we were having and what we're going through and to appreciate the moment in time that we were there. And it was way more than I expected, to be honest. I came back very much refreshed, and I was only on the initial inaugural program, so it was just sort of a bit of a test case. And the timing for me was fantastic. We'd been through a very long battle with a coal mine that was trying to build on the back of our property in the middle of the Liverpool Plains, and I didn't realise how much of a toll that was taking on me until I went on that retreat. But yeah, really good timing. I loved it.
Yeah, it sounds like the people who do go on it find out a lot more about themselves than they probably thought in the first place. So you've nominated others for the Bayer retreat. What were you thinking when you nominated someone? And you know, how did they go with the experience?
Yeah, so the problem I had was the ones we nominated happened right in the middle of COVID, and that shut that program down during that period, which was really tough on everybody. But how did we go about it? So when I came back, I thought, you know, this is a great opportunity for people, and agriculture and rural areas can be quite tough on you mentally. It's crazy having a business with no roof on it, you know. So you're at the vagaries of the weather, and you can get a lot of issues that are out of your control thrust upon you. And some people, it's one after another, and it just seems to get them down. And you notice it around your mates and things like that, or your local farmers and neighbours. And well, I guess I was just keeping an eye out because I knew this program was there. And I approached two people and said, look, you know, this is out there if you're interested. You know, I think it's a really great opportunity to take a bit of a break and help lift your whole spirits. And they both were very receptive to it. They thought that was a great concept. So then from there, we just went through the process of logging on and making a nomination. I made a phone call myself to Matt, you know, just a sort of vet who I'd put forward. And it all went from there. And it was their feedback. I mean, look, the COVID jammed them, so they didn't get the opportunity to complete it. But the process of getting to that point, what they said, was fantastic. And they're really, you know, happy that Bayer was supporting it. So no, I think it's a great initiative, and it's very well put together.
You said that both were receptive to it. There's a fair bit of stigma about mental health in rural areas. Is that changing, do you think?
It's definitely changing. Yeah, no, it's much easier to approach somebody about it these days than in the old days. It was, yeah, I'm right, mate. And sometimes that's probably where we walked away. We said, oh, okay, they're right. But because there's so much awareness now out there, and I think self-awareness too, we all know that we personally go through these issues, so we're aware of it, and we've been given permission to talk about it, I guess, through that lifting of the awareness. And so I think a lot more people are receptive to talking about it. Some obviously are going to be initially a bit more phased, and you've got to be a bit more circumspect the way you approach it. But I found everybody that I've spoken to about, you know, these issues have been fantastic in opening up and being quite welcoming of any help that they can get.
Mm. Look, John, thanks for talking to us and telling us about your experience. I really appreciate it.
No worries.
And Ben, thanks for being here to talk about Bayer and your involvement in the Big Fishing Challenge. And you know, you're the architect of this, and it's a great program. So congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you. I hope it's helping within our communities.
And our final guest today is Sally Carr, who is Group Head of Partnerships at Australian Red Cross, who's going to talk about a unique program called Baby Hub. Welcome, Sally.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So, Sally, tell us about Baby Hub.
Baby Hub, one of my most favourite programs of the Australian Red Cross. Okay, so Baby Hub is in its 10th year. It is on an island which takes 2 hours to fly from Darwin to get to. So it's a long way away. It's about 550 kilometres actually from Darwin. And the actual real name is Elko Island, but the Aboriginal name is Galawinku. So, and the closest hospital to the island is about an hour away by plane. So just to give some context of how far away the island is, where Baby Hub is. So the program itself, as I say, it's about 10 years old now. It began due to locals needing more education and support for babies, basically. It began as an outreach focused on access to nutrition and food, and food education. But then we built a building on the island, which became a baby hub, where local mums and young children could come and have a safe place and start to learn more how to educate and care for the babies and young mums themselves.
And so what sort of things happened at Baby Hub?
So it's a completely Aboriginal island where we have a wonderful program lead by the name of Bridget. So her and her husband reside on the island. Her husband's a teacher and she's our program lead. She's been amazing and is a really important part of the success of the program. And she has a number of mothers who have gone through the program and now are carers for the young mums and bubs on the island as well and in Baby Hub themselves.
There's obviously a need for Baby Hub. What's a problem that it's solving?
A lot of problems. So if you think of how isolated, you know, the island is, you know, and with isolation comes a number of challenges. So, you know, the women come for emotional support. You know, it's like that drop-in centre where that local community can gather, talk, share stories and information. They can rest, they can, you know, even shower and do some laundry, even if that's not available wherever they reside. You know, there's a lot of challenges on the island. So yeah, it's really that safe place for number one, but then education. So whilst it's our program, we also partner with a couple of other programs as well. So there's the local school, which is attended by 700 students, which is actually about a third of the population on Galawinku. And so the education piece is really, really important because of the isolation. So a lot of these people, we're trying to get them to go to the local school, whereas their parents may not have before. And so really sort of doing some very simple education to lead better, stronger, healthier lives, really. And then bridging the gap on the isolation for a safe place.
Seems like a lot of outcomes from just one little hub. So how many people work there? What's the staffing like?
So staffing, it's really small. So we've got Bridget and then she's got two First Nation assistants and that's it. And then, you know, we've got fabulous organisations such as Bayer who give generous donations to run it. It's purely run on donations.
So tell me about the relationship with Bayer and how does that work in relation to Baby Hub?
Bayer have given a very generous donation, which falls over a three-year time period, and we're eternally grateful for that partnership. You know, this supports the local development officer, which is Bridget. It also supports some of the community education and the community outreach, and also the rent for the actual building itself. It will also help to upskill the community development officers, because, you know, ideally what we want is for this centre to almost sort of run itself from the community. So ideally that is our long-term play. But we have a great relationship with Bayer and the team on the partnership. Emma's does a fabulous job really listening to what the needs are. Most recently, a number of the Bayer team came up and we did a wonderful trip where some of the Bayer employees could really see what it's like on the island and, you know, just exactly what the environment's like and that some of the challenges. And then, you know, we've talked about how further that Bayer employees across the organisation can really help even more with things such as clothing drives. You know, like the little children need more clothes, they need more toys, you know, just more books, some of the just most simplest things that are to us. So it's those kind of things. If it was closer, we'd be asking for volunteers on the island as well. But actually, there is volunteering availability as well if somebody wants to, you know, come and volunteer for a week. So there's many different ways, you know, that that organisations such as Bayer are helping.
That volunteering would be an incredible experience to go up and see it. Is there any plans or is it possible for this concept, Baby Hub, to be replicated elsewhere and is there any plans to do that?
I mean, Australian Red Cross really tries to help all vulnerable people right across the world. We're in 192 countries and it really is a very large humanitarian movement. We try very hard to help everybody, but sometimes it's just not possible. This is very unique. It's the only one. We have other First Nations programs absolutely right across Australia, but this is the only one uniquely like this.
A unique program for a unique place, by the sound of it.
Yes, indeed. Yes, yeah, yes.
Yeah. Just before we finish, have you got any success stories from the program that have emerged?
So there's about 10 to 15 women that drop in throughout the week, either they're just themselves or with their young babies. So we consider every time somebody comes and drops into the centre, it's a win, it's a success story, because we're helping to educate them, we're helping to keep them healthy. But really now the biggest success story, we believe, is that the two assistants that are now working with Bridget come from the community, have been through the programme and have learnt to be able to help their local community and start educating themselves. So I think that's probably the biggest.
And look, and that sounds fantastic. They sound like good indicators of success are those small wins.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Sally. Really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
No problem. Thank you so much. And thank you, Bayer.
And a special thank you to our audience for listening. Make sure you tell your friends and colleagues about our podcast and keep an eye out for future episodes as we tackle the big issues of better agriculture. We'll catch you then. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Better Agriculture, brought to you by Bayer Crop Science Australia. Listen to our other episodes to meet more of the Bayer Crop Science team and hear about their groundbreaking work on solutions for Australian agriculture.